Bigs.
With Mully and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, it was a disappointing loss. I don't think there's any way around it. 21-16 loss at Indianapolis, and really just a game that was characterized by mistakes. It was an ugly game. Both teams, a lot of bad plays, a lot of penalties. What's your takeaway as to the main reason the Bears lost that game?
Oh, boy. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that they failed and came up short yesterday. With it certainly established an identity on offense. That's that they're a finesse football team, which I don't think is probably the goal they set out for. But that's where it's at right now, and that's where it's going to be until they do something on the field to change that. So you've got the absolute disaster at the goal line there, where they're first and goal at the four, and they're not able to come away with points. And then, you know, a failure to have more big plays. Yeah, they're on the field for 84 plays, okay? They've had more plays than that in a regulation game, non-overtime, four times ever. And they can't even crack 400 yards, right? And so it was even when they had good drives, it was a little disjointed, and then they gave up. They played relatively well against Anthony Richardson. You thought that it might look kind of ugly for the Colts offense, and it did. But Richardson came away with just a couple big plays, and the Colts were able to chip away with Jonathan Taylor. He eventually gets over 100 yards, and the Bears leave disappointed. This is a game they really needed to win. The Colts hadn't been able to stop Pop Warner teams from running the football, and the Bears had 63 yards on 28 attempts.
How surprised were you that Shane Waldron was as ineffective calling plays as he was, and how much responsibility do you think you put at his feet? We can talk about divvying up blame and what went wrong. Brad, I look at the first and goal from the four as just a microcosm of how poorly conceived the entire game plan was all day.
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy to criticize the fourth and one play, and it should be criticized. And they had three cracks at it from close to the goal line before it, and it didn't work out. You talk to people around the league, they weren't real impressed with what Seattle did running the football when Waldron was there. A couple good backs and Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. Look at the roster, the way it's set up here. They've got wide receivers. They've got Caleb. I mean, ultimately, I think when we get to the end of the season, instead of saying what kind of growth did the running game take, you're going to say, hey, what kind of growth did the quarterback Caleb Williams have in this season? But to have an effective season to win football games, you've got to be able to run the football right now. And they are a miserable failure in that regard. There's two teams with less rushing yards right now in the NFL, and one of them has their third game tonight. That's the Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm just curious, Brad, when we hear from the coach after the game, he talked about how encouraged that he was, encouraged by the locker room, said they had their head moving forward and their eyes moving forward and they're going to get better this week. I got to be honest with you, it just was the wrong tone to strike after that poor a performance. And it made me wonder if all the kind of all the positivity, all of the feeling that this guy was coming into his own as a head coach, was sort of wasted time, effort, energy. It seemed as if, you know, they had basic function problems. You know, you don't know that you're going for two, and then by the time you got to call a timeout in order to run a failed 2-point conversion. It just, there were just different moments in the game that are bad and make you wonder about the operation.
Well, you talk about, you know, sideline management. They had the call in Houston a week ago that they never should have challenged, that they threw a flag on. And then this situation where they've got poor communication, and, you know, if it's up in the booth or down on the sideline, or probably more likely a combination of both, that's got to be tightened up. And that was a long drive. Okay, that was a drive that I think took 7 minutes off the clock. It was a lot of plays. But as that thing's starting to unfold and you're getting closer to the midway point of the fourth quarter, you've got to have that clearly communicated, hey, coach, touchdown here and we got to go for two. Or Eberflus has got to know that. Or Eberflus has got to ask. And that's not why they lost the football game, losing that timeout right there. But you see stuff like that, and that's bothersome. And I will credit Eberflus in the post game. He owned that completely. He did not try to sidestep that. He did not try to brush that aside. I think he owned that and said that they've all got to be better in terms of that blown timeout there. But just you can't run the football. You've got a rookie quarterback. You're still kind of searching for the right fit on offense. You know, they don't want to be in a position where they're asking Caleb Williams to drop back and sling it 57 times a ball game, but that's where they found themselves yesterday. And Eberflus talked about them being committed to the run, which they were more committed than the numbers would tell you immediately, right? Before that final possession, when they're crunched for time and they got to get multiple scores, they had 46 dropbacks and 26 handoffs. So that takes out the scramble by Caleb. And that's not completely out of whack when they just weren't having any success running the ball. You know, they tried Roshan Johnson more. They gave him some carries, which is understandable. But again, if you can't run the ball on the Colts, I don't know where you're going to be able to run it. Although, heading into this weekend, the Rams, who they have next, and the Panthers, who follow that, were nearly as bad as Indianapolis in terms of run defense.
Latu getting the strip sack fumble of Caleb Williams, big play, obviously. And you got to the bottom of it talking to Cole Kmet. He was isolated one-on-one. I know they were in max protect, Brad. What else can you tell us about how that just happened? Because at first glance, you're like, why doesn't he have help against an edge rusher who is a speedy guy? You might want to give him some help. Kmet just lost that battle. But should he have ever been in it one-on-one to begin with?
Well, you know, you look at it and you say, well, geez, why is he there? They had max protect, so they had seven guys in to block on that play. And it's a situation where Latu's in lined up wide. Okay, he's real wide there, and Cole's the in guy on the line. So it's how do you gonna move the left tackle outside of Cole? That doesn't really work. It's a situation where it was a play fake. They were And Caleb was under center, and they're trying to sell that inside run there. And so in selling the inside run, I think Cole maybe went a little too hard inside, which in just a split second there gave Latu what he needed to try to get around the edge, which he was able to do. And Caleb did the right thing. He stepped up in the pocket, climbed the pocket a little bit, trying to create a little bit more time and space, and it just it ran out there. So he's so wide out there. I don't know how you get that other guy there. It's kind of a one-on-one thing, and Cole regrets it. He knows he should have been better.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. How closely will you be watching the Keenan Allen situation here? Is he headed toward injured reserve? Is there any way of, you can't post-date it in the NFL.
Yeah, right. It's in MLB where you can backdate it to the last time you saw the guy on the football field. So I would certainly hope that he's not headed there after missing two games now. But, Keenan Allen was on the field in Houston a week ago, even though he was inactive, and excused from this trip for personal reasons. And it just, he hasn't practiced. I don't know. It's something just seems a little askew there. I wish I had more information. I don't. But they miss him, right? And fortunately, they were able to get Cole Kmet going in the middle of the field, which is where you expect Keenan Allen to do some work. They finally got Kmet involved in the passing game, tied to career high with 10 catches. But again, that's a real mediocre Colts defense, especially with DeForest Buckner out. And when they face better defenses, they're really going to miss a guy like Keenan Allen if he's not back in action on the field and healthy enough to perform at a high level.
This segment with Brad Biggs, sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. 30 seconds, Biggsy. Did anything that happened yesterday change your prediction or your projection of how good the Bears can be this season?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I mean, well, they're going to – you lose a game like this, it might be an uphill battle to get to 10 wins, which I thought 10 was within range for these guys. So, yeah, I mean, the run game's just really poor right now. Again, no one sets out to establish the identity of being a finesse team. And that's where the Bears are. I mean, and that's like the kind way of putting it, right? Okay, so, I'd say probably a little bit.
All right, buddy. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Safe travels.
Have a great day, guys.
Don't be late for that flight.
He's at the airport.
They're calling for him.
Yeah.
Brad Biggs, please report to Terminal 3. Gate 7, your flight is leaving.